Can you think of a time, you may have just done it, but can you think of a time when you have been really thankful? I mean, overflowing, bubbling over with thanks. It possibly could surround some kind of celebration that you're part of, perhaps a gift you received of some kind, but that you were just overflowing, like it was an overwhelming feeling of thanksgiving, perhaps toward a person or even God. If you are in the habit of doing your Thanksgiving journal, as I've been encouraging you to do over the last couple of weeks, maybe your answer should have been, yeah, last night I was overflowing with thankfulness. It would be nice to have that as a response. If you think of Thanksgiving as a healthy, nourishing meal for the soul, just have that analogy in your mind. That when our lives are filled with thanksgiving, it's like our soul is being really well fed. It's being nurtured and developed and become strong and healthy. But instead, I think these days our society rather feeds their souls on what I would call junk food. You know, the stuff that people chase to feed their souls and well-being, but it's just empty. So instead of thankfulness, they fill up with indulgence. They just indulge. You know, why do people indulge? They either overspend or overeat or over-relax, I don't know, whatever indulgence it is. Why do people do that? Because they think it makes them happy. But overindulgence doesn't make you happy. It just makes you want more. It's like that junk food for the soul. And you can buy all the toys and experience all of the wonderful things in life, but it doesn't fill you up, not in your soul anyway. I'm not saying those things are bad, but when you seek them as soul food, it doesn't work. And so our soul starves, and that's why we don't have peace in our society. And you can see this in the way that people complain so much. They whinge about everything. They complain about everything. There's this, it's been around for a few years now, but these memes, these little memes and videos going around called First World Problems. Have you seen those? There's those First World Problems and funny examples. So, you know, oh, the new iPhone's out, but I can't afford the new model, you know, as if you're missing out on something. Or I had to wait 5 minutes in the drive-thru. Or I have nothing to wear. Yeah? Who's guilty of that? Most of us have a whole wardrobe full of nothing to wear. Last week I was down in Brisbane and Debbie had an appointment at the hospital and she was waiting for me to pick her up and she sat next to a lady, an elderly lady. And the lady was complaining to her about how she had to wait 2 hours for her appointment with the specialist. And we would all agree, 2 hours is a long time, especially if you're old, you know, that could be a little bit uncomfortable. And Debbie said, yeah, 2 hours, that's a long time, but isn't it so nice in this country that we can have free healthcare from the top experts in the field? And the lady then said, oh, yes, I suppose that is true. But, you know, we're surrounded by all these blessings all the time, and yet we so easily default just to that negative. Instead of having thankful hearts, we're complaining all the time, and we're really good at it. But I think what it does is it actually leads to self-pity. Self-pity is a dangerous journey. It really is, because it starts to make you believe that you are a victim instead of the recipient of blessing. And when you've got a whole bunch of people walking around believing that they are victims, then they believe that it's everybody else's responsibility to fix them. And so if I'm feeling offended, or if I'm feeling like I'm not fitting in, this is your problem. That's what self-pity actually does. I actually really believe that the opposite of thanksgiving is actually self-pity. not complaining. The opposite of thanksgiving is self-pity. It's that step further. Self-pity is a habit, I think, that is in epidemic proportions in our modern Western world. We should be the happiest people on the planet. Considering all of the blessings we have, we should be the happiest people in the world. And yet, because of our self-pity, we believe that life is so bad. Now, not all of us are all the time like that, but as a culture, it feels like that. And the problem with that eventually is it blinds us to the good. We get so used to the good just being a part of it that we start to complain against the nuances of the good. So this is really good, but it's not as good as I want it to be, so I'm going to complain. Like the 5 minutes in the drive-thru thing. You know, whether you should even be going through a drive-thru and eating that stuff anyway is another question. But. And so we get robbed of peace and joy because we're always seeing the negative. Robs the peace and joy of everyone around us too. Because who likes a whinger? Nobody. And yet all the while, the pathway to peace and contentment is so simple and yet ridiculed by so many. The truth of the Christian gospel pours grace into our life. It can totally transform the way you see the world when you know that you belong to God and that He loves you. And it is a pathway to peace and emotional strength and stability, yet people make fun of it. Educated people will poke fun at those who walk a life of faith and say, oh, it's just superstition. And yet those same people will go to yoga and put crystals in their houses. And we buy into all this New Age stuff, thinking that it'll bring, burn incense sticks or whatever. We buy into all that, and yet the truth of the Christian gospel, oh no, that's foolishness. And yet it's the answer, the best answer. You know, where else can you get this response where if you're worried about something, like if you are really worried at the moment, like you're sitting here and you're thinking about tomorrow or whatever, and you're worried, and you can just talk to God about it. You can just come to God at any time about anything. And we can just talk to Him, bring our worries to Him. And you know how when you're talking to someone, you know, it just helps. Or if you're struggling with identity, that's a big thing these days, struggling with identity. God knows who you are. He's your creator. Ask Him and He will make sense of it for you. Or if you're going through a hard time, God offers to give us strength for that, like His strength for that. And facing a difficult decision, you know, I have to decide about things that might be difficult. He gives us wisdom in that. He can see the future and He can help us by guiding us in those decisions. And if at the end of the day, all my life is just a big struggle, we have the promise of eternal life that underlines all of that. And that brings this peace into our lives. One of my favorite verses in this area, which you will know well, comes from Philippians 4. As the Apostle Paul writes to this church in Philippi that had gone through a fair bit, if you read in Acts, you know that the church had gone through a fair bit. And he'd spent a significant amount of time there and there was some good ministry happening there. And so he writes to them and he encourages them. And the book of Philippians is a really, really nice book to go through and to, if you want to be encouraged. But in Philippians 4, these very, very well-known and highly memorized verses. And I just want to capture them as we come to the end of our three-week journey on Thanksgiving. He says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." These are beautiful verses. and powerful in their application in life. Simple too. Paul starts by talking about anxiety, you know. If you're anxious, he says, don't be anxious about anything. Instead, come to God about it. And he speaks about anxiety. Anxiety is not a sin, you know. We all get anxious about things. Jesus was anxious. In the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat drops of blood, he was that stressed. We all stress over things. Anxiety is real, and I think it's important to acknowledge it, but it's what you do with that that is different for a Christian. And Paul mentions two things. First is prayer. Talk to God about everything. And I know that in my own experience, when you sit down and just chat to someone about how you're feeling and thinking and what you're worried about, that actually really helps. I don't know if that's your experience. I think perhaps that's a bit easier for an extrovert to do, because extroverts tend to think out loud, you know. And so even if that person doesn't give any advice, it's really, really nice just to talk about it. Well, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, just talk to God about it. But you're not just talking to anyone. You're talking to God, who has ultimate authority over everything. So you're talking to the one that can fix it. And that brings us this comfort and this peace. And that becomes better and more powerful the more of a habit you make this. So if every time you feel anxiety or nervousness coming on and you go straight to God and talk to him about it, if you do that every time and it starts to become a life habit, you will find that peace that comes into your life will happen much more naturally and quickly as you develop a habit of that. I think it's one of the best things, parents, that you can teach to little children, parents and grandparents, is how just to go to God about everything. So if your child is school age and they're going to school and they're experiencing bullying, and they come home and talk to you about that, you can say to them, let's pray about that. And there's a whole lot you can teach them in that space about confidence in God, about praying for the bully, loving your enemies, those kind of things. And to see God act. It can be a wonderful lesson to learn, an important lesson to learn. Perhaps they're struggling at school understanding something. Maybe your child is not naturally brilliant and academic and they have to work really hard to understand things. They might have difficulty. You can teach them to ask God. One of the cutest stories I heard is a good friend of mine many, many years ago had a young son that was struggling to learn how to swim. And he tells this story. He's in the pool one day and his son had to dive in the water and go under his spread legs and then come up the other side. So if you're frightened of swimming and all of that, that's really hard. Anyway, this young boy dived in, went under his dad's legs, came up the other side with this big beam on his face, and he goes, I ask God. It's a lesson that we can teach in infancy to take everything to God. Just if you're stressed, if you're bothered, just go to God. Don't worry about anything, he says. Don't let anxiety build, but instead go to God about everything. He also mentions in that verse, with thanksgiving. Pray to God with thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving's really important for a number of reasons. One is it's a confidence booster. So if you're talking to God about the stuff that you're stressed about, but at the same time you're thanking him for all the other past times that he helped you when you were stressed, it builds confidence in answering prayer. Yeah. And so you say, God, I know that in the past I've come to you about these things, and I know you fixed this and you fixed that and you helped me with that and you helped me through that, so I know you're going to help me, so I'm just going to share this with you. Do you get what I'm saying? Is that thanksgiving feeds that confidence. Thanksgiving also takes your focus off that bad stuff. So yes, you might be going through a hard time, but if you accompany that prayer with thanksgiving, it balances it out. So you might come to God really stressed and anxious about what you've experienced or what you're experiencing, or a decision that's coming, or a tension in relationship, and you're really nervous about it and it's upsetting you and you can't sleep, and you come to God and you just talk to Him about it. But as you thank Him, you start to realize, well, not everything's bad. And you need that, because you need that strength in order to go through what you're about to go through. And thanksgiving helps you with that. So it puts everything in perspective. It also allows us to see the hand of God at work. And so we're not tempted to walk down this road of despair where we think God's not with us anymore, or He's forgotten us, or He's abandoned us. Now, the result of all that is peace. That's what He talks about. He says His peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it's a supernatural one as well. He says the peace which surpasses all understanding. It exceeds all our understanding. Peace that we don't know where it's come from. Well, where did that come from? You know, I'm in this situation where I'm anxious and I'm stressed, or I'm in grief or whatever it is. And I feel this peace and I don't get it. What? Why am I? I should be feeling this, but I'm not. I'm feeling this. That's the supernatural peace of God that comes as a promise to prayer and thanksgiving. It's a beautiful exchange, really. I love it. I often talk about it as a good exchange. I give God all my troubles and He exchanges it with peace of mind. I like that. That's a good swap, I reckon. And it's not just made up peace. All that New Age stuff, you know, all that meditation, crystals, power positive thinking, all that stuff, it's all human. But what God offers is supernatural peace. Peace that goes beyond our own understanding. Talk to God with what's bothering you. Thank Him for the blessings you see. And the combination of those things are profound in their effect. I learned this lesson, and I've shared this testimony many times before. For the first time when I was young, I was in year 10, I was 15 years old, and I went through a period, as any of you who are around that age or remember that age, know that it's about the time where you experience a lot of turmoil. And I went through just a whole stack of disappointment one after the other. Conflict, failure, loss, a whole lot of things. And I was crying myself to sleep one night, as teenagers often do. If you don't remember, they do. And I was prompted by God to pray and to thank Him. And I was lying out in my bed in the annex of the caravan that my dad and I lived in, and just started to thank God for the things in my life. I can be thankful for this, I can be thankful for that, I can be thankful for that. And I got onto a roll, and I started to thank God, and I started thanking Him for this and thank Him for that, and this is good and that's good, and oh God, You're wonderful because You give me this and You give me that. I got so distracted that the next thing I remember is the birds were singing. I'd prayed through the whole night, thanking God. I was 15 years old. It was one of the most powerful lessons that I've learned in my life, is how to turn anxiety into praise. Now, you don't have to pray all night for that. Just make it a habit. About a year and a half ago, I on purpose picked up this theme again and started a journey into thanksgiving. And I decided that what I would do is I would journal. Every night I'd go home. And I didn't do it every night, but it was the goal to go home and write at the end of each day what I was thankful for. And this is what I've been encouraging you to do, to do this Thanksgiving journal. Now, I know a couple of people talked to me and said, oh, I've been doing the journal, it's really great, and that's good to hear. And I want to encourage you to keep doing that. But after a while of doing that, searching the Bible, collecting all of the Bible verses that talk about thanksgiving, it was a bit of a journey. This journey became such an unexplainable, rich thing for me. I started finding so many things to be blessed, so many things to be thankful for in the day. And at the time, the reason I went through on this journey is I was feeling really, really stressed. At the time, feeling a bit like a failure, feeling really tired, and you know, I just found this journey of thankfulness and started to thank God every day for things, and noticed that it turned more into a not just a nighttime thing, but an every minute of the day thing. And so I'm walking around, you know, and I'm eating my lunch, and I thought, oh, this is really tasty, actually. I'm glad I can have this lunch today. And you think about your family, and you think about, you know, all the little successes that add up, and little things along the day. And I've taught you about that over the last couple of weeks, just noticing even the weather and, you know, sitting in my backyard and looking at the flowers and noticing the butterflies and just little things, you know, and they add up and they add up and they add up. And after a few weeks of that, I got to the stage where I felt my life was so blessed that I almost started feeling guilty for it. Nothing had changed in my circumstance except my eyes were different. And I remember I went for a swim, and it's my day off. I went for a swim, and I'm lying on my little outdoor lounge there and gazing up at the blue sky and thinking, what have I done to have such a blessed and pleasant life? How do you do that? How do you go from feeling a failure and stressed and really deep in discouragement to feeling so blessed that you're almost guilty about it? It's the journey of thanksgiving. It was as simple as that. My whole well-being changed in the space of weeks, simply because I opened my eyes to see what God was actually doing. I cannot stress enough the difference that a journey into thanksgiving will make in your life. It is truly the pathway to peace. You will discover in this journey, if you commit to it, that the problems you have in your life, they won't go away, but they will become smaller in perspective, because you'll see them balanced out with the blessings. Your attitude toward them will change. You won't be a victim. You won't feel, woe is me. Instead, they're just something that you can share with God to help you through. You will notice more of God's blessings. So instead of God being someone who's distant and you don't even know if he's hearing your prayer, you'll start to see him everywhere. You will notice God everywhere in your life. Little things, because you tuned in for it. And you'll see it. Little things that are from heaven. And you'll see it and you'll notice it and you'll thank God for it. You'll feel happier because you're blessed by God. You will learn to be happy with what you have rather than craving for what you don't have. It's one of the foundational Ten Commandments. Don't covet. You know, don't crave for what you don't have. Instead, be content with what you do have. You know, and so, you know, I at the time I was researching a vehicle, you know, and I went from desiring a new four-wheel drive to, boy, I love this car that I already own. You know, that's when it doesn't break down, I have to take it to the mechanic. But then I can thank God for that I've got a good mechanic, right? So that's all good. And so we learn to be content with what we have. I love my house. I love my yard. I love my furniture. I love my comfy bed. I love those things. So I just chuck the junk mail away because there's nothing in there that I really want, because I've got everything. You'll feel closer to God too because you're noticing him everywhere in your life. This is the life that God offers us. It's the life he wants for us, a life of perspective, a life of joy, of peace. I love how the Apostle Paul finishes this little section in Philippians 4. He says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learnt and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." These verses have always been very close to my heart. They guide me when I'm stressed. They protect me when I'm tempted to complain to God about things or when I'm discouraged. It's a beautiful list. Whatever is true, whatever is noble. I'm remembering it in the NIV verses, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is praiseworthy, dwell on those things. Fix your thoughts on those things. It's these verses that led me in my 20s to choose not to watch TV news and current affairs. Because the TV news and current affairs are opposite to those things. Full of false and shameful things, shocking things, disturbing things. Things that talk about what one person does to another person, negative, full of doom and gloom about the future. I don't want to dwell on those things because they poison my soul and they steal my peace. I've been accused of sticking my head in the sand. Maybe I'd rather stick my head in the sand than in a pile of manure, but it's not sticking your head in the sand, actually. It's choosing to focus on the good that is there. Good and bad are in our life. What do you focus on, though? And that's what I'm talking about. That's why I've challenged you to do your Thanksgiving journal every night, so that you can focus on those things. Finish the day meditating on the good and you'll fall asleep with peace. It's not a psychological trick. It's not the power of positive thinking. It is a command of God. Be always thankful. I trust that as you move into that journey more and more, that it would lift you and the light of God will shine through you. Let's pray. Lord, there is so much in the world that is good because you pour it out. All of the good blessings come from you, Lord. And we can see them. And you give us eyes to see them as well, because we can see through the physical things and into the spiritual blessings. I pray, Lord, us as a church family, that you will help us to discover this journey into Thanksgiving, to experience the power of what it does in transforming our soul and bringing us peace and joy. This is the design you had, Lord, when you sacrificed yourself on the cross, that we might live full lives, conscious of your blessing, and give glory and thanksgiving to you in everything. Thank you so much, Lord, for those who have already begun this journey and have discovered the secret of noticing all that you do. May you receive all praise and glory. And as we head into next weekend, Lord, where we will celebrate the journey of 160 years of your provision and blessing over this church family, may we be caught up in it, led by your Spirit in thanksgiving and praise, honoring you for all of the great things that you have done and will continue to do. Lord, may you pour out in our hearts your grace, that there would be a revival among us, lifting us, Lord, by your great blessing in our life. We thank you for all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.